overall, from a schematic side, for example, Pittsburgh, you know, going with Russell Wilson last night to kind of see what he gives them and what that is relative to Fields. And honestly, they'll probably need both guys, but you know, at least Coach Tomlin has a good feel now. And you got to give Coach Tomlin a lot of credit. I mean, that was a, you know, as usual, he makes a lot of good moves and knows his team extremely well. But, you know, now he knows what he has with Wilson. He knows what he has with Fields. And, you know, that's a good thing to have halfway through the season and have two guys that you can count on. He didn't know that until last night for sure about Wilson. He knows a lot more now. So, you know, I think there are some ways to improve your team. But when I say football starts after Thanksgiving, I think that's really in terms of, you know, how the season's going to end.
Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. That was Bill Belichick with Pat McAfee talking about the decision that Mike Tomlin made to play Russell Wilson, saying that Tomlin knows his team. We're joined now by Jeff Hathorn, our sports director. And Jeff, you've been around for Mike Tomlin's tenure. Was this the boldest decision that he's ever made?
The hell does Belichick know? because how many times has he had to make real quarterback decisions over the span of his tenure? I mean, yes, he had to pick between Kenny and Mitch, but I think this, because of the veteran status of Russell Wilson and the fact that the Steelers were 4-0, yeah, I think you could make that argument. It was his boldest decision, and quite interesting how, you know, last week, how our thoughts were going and now going into this week with the Giants game.
Well, Jeff, you know, I thought that was the most well-balanced game that the Steelers have played in a while on Sunday night. Both of us, we were there. We saw each other in the press box. But if you're trying to pick this game apart and find some negatives, did you see any negatives that were glaring against the Jets?
I mean, they got a couple of bounces, which helps. I mean, the one on the Pickens goes off the helmet. If that doesn't happen, you know, how does that maybe change how this game occurs? The Steelers have gotten a couple. They got a couple of calls in the previous game. So they've had a couple of things go their way. As far as breaking it down, I mean, there are times Russ was under pressure. So I guess maybe you could drill down on that. But really, I thought they played as solid a team game. You know, got a block on special teams, defense did well. I know people were tearing apart Aaron Rodgers, but I thought the defense played pretty well. And offensively, you know, George had more yards in a game with Justin Fields and more catches, but it was just the way that it all looked seemed so much different.
Jeff Hathorn joining us in the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The Steelers' defense in the second half was outstanding, and the same could be argued the week before against Las Vegas. I feel like once they got a beat on Rodgers getting rid of the ball as quickly as he was, it stopped being about getting him on the ground and more about heating him up, get the hands up, and at that point, I think they had a lot of success. Jeff, with the offense playing well these last couple of weeks, certainly on Sunday, wouldn't it be nice if this defense can get a lead, pin your ears back, rush the passer a little bit?
Well, and that's what Cam was saying after the game. So once they got that lead in the second half, they could really go after Aaron Rodgers. And, man, I'll say this, for most of the year, the halftime adjustments they made defensively have been spot on. I mean, the game against Indy, you know, they were struggling, came out in the second half, and for the most part, played a hell of a lot better defense. They've played this season much better after halftime on the defensive end. But yeah, I mean, the one thing maybe I would say to the last question is maybe you have to tamper it down because it's the Jets. And, you know, even if they have another good performance against the Giants and you're like, okay, but are those teams any good? But you're going to find out right after the break if that's the case. And hopefully it is. I mean, you got to beat the teams that are on your schedule. And what's one of the biggest complaints you have about Mike Tomlin every year? He loses to teams he's supposed to beat.
Jeff, we'll clearly find out probably more information on this front today when Mike Tomlin does speak in his weekly press conference. But in your anticipation on the injury front, Nick Herbig, could he possibly be back? Cordarrelle Patterson, could he possibly be back? And Dante Jackson, how long do you anticipate him being out for?
Yeah, Dante, I'm not exactly sure, but the fact that they're going to elevate a corner probably tells you a little bit of something. And Dante's been dealing with injuries off and on throughout camp, just little nagging things here and there. But he's been able to bounce back. So I guess we'll probably see how the week plays out, but I'm not optimistic with Dante. As far as Nick, as far as Cordarrelle, and we haven't seen them on the field yet. You know, when you saw last week with Highsmith, you saw that limited practice at the end of the week. That kind of gave you optimism going into this week. We didn't see that at all. So I don't know if they'll be ruled out, but I think we're going to have to see how the practice week plays out for those guys. And man, I thought Highsmith played well considering he's coming off a groin injury. He held his own over on that side.
Real quick on the previous question, Steelers outscoring the Jets and the Raiders 44-6 in the second half the last 2 weeks. The Steelers lead the NFL with a plus 68 point differential in the second half. So they've been the best second half team in the entirety of the NFL. Jeff, you're in the locker room there after the game. Najee Harris talking about this offense being one that could lead to maybe something special. Are you sensing a different level of confidence? Not just different than previous years, but was there a different level of confidence even compared to the Justin Fields-led Steelers?
I think a little bit, just because of how it was more balanced. You know, even in the good Justin games, most of it was ground, or Justin would use his feet. I know he had a 300-yard game against Indy, but a lot of that was needed. It just felt like a different type of offense. And some of that's play calling, not just on Justin. But they're able to execute some chunk plays. They're able to get the ball downfield. They drew a pass interference penalty. Like, there are things that you saw from this offense and being able to gain those chunk plays that you hear Tomlin talk about, you know, 12 to 15 times a year of what's needed for this offense. So I think in that regard, yes. And, I mean, some of it you have to credit Russ. I mean, Russ was a good leader. He came. You know, the thing, guys, that impressed me was especially on that one bootleg, like he was able to move quickly and kind of sidearm a throw to Freiermuth. That I didn't know. That you couldn't tell from practice. Like, there were little things like that where he showed off some of the veteran knowledge that impressed me about his game on Sunday.
Jeff, did you watch the game last night, the Baltimore Ravens game at all?
Just a little, because they are a machine.
Yeah, like, yeah, I mean, you clearly saw the stat line. I mean, obviously Derrick Henry, 169 yards rushing, and he's been able to break one out almost every single game. You kind of know what the Ravens want to do this year. I mean, they want to, you know, pass the ball. They want to run the football, but they want to close games out with Derrick Henry. With all that being said, like, how in comparison do you see the Steelers after Sunday night compared to the Ravens right now? Like, are they far off, or are they closer than we think?
I mean, they're a little closer Sunday than I would have said the week before, just because the offense looked better. But it's still Baltimore 1. I mean, I don't know how you could argue that. I mean, just watching their offense. And now what Lamar Jackson is able to do, Zay Flowers had one catch in that game. They were able to find other targets. They've got multiple tight ends that could beat you down the middle of the field. And you mentioned Derrick Henry. I mean, once again, he busts through. And I'm thinking that defensive back, when he made the tackle at like the 5-yard line, I'm wondering if he separated his shoulder.
Right,
going
his
up
neck.
Against one of those legs. You know, dude is, I don't know if I've seen a resurgence to where a guy that was that good kind of fell off and then came back to play at this level like Derrick Henry. It has been a, you know, sadly for other fans of the AFC North, it's been a perfect fit for Henry with Baltimore.
He has played 7 games, 873 rushing yards, 8 touchdowns, 6.5 yards per carry. The next closest running back in the NFL in terms of rushing yards has 667. He got 200 more rushing yards than the next closest guy.
And Adam, in a couple of those games, they didn't need him late.
Right.
Because the game was decided.
And don't look now, by the way, just while I'm here on this stat page, Najee Harris, 8th in the National Football League in rushing yards. Jeff, great stuff as always. Really appreciate the time. We will talk to you on Thursday.
See you, boys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Hathorn. Check out more of Jeff on 937thefan.com. We'll react to some of what Jeff had to say when we come back. And also, we'll hear from Mark Schlereth, the biggest critic of Russell Wilson over the offseason. Did he change his stripes yesterday when he was on with Pony and Mueller? We'll let you hear some of it. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm. They always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And a big-time reminder, because it's coming up, Pet Fest 24, presented by Subaru, is back October 27th at Rockwell Park in the East End. The venue is right next to the East End Co-op, and there's plenty of free parking. The event runs from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors. Participate in costume contests. Get photos with Santa and join in the blessing of the pets at 9:30 a.m. Donation at the door benefits the Salvation Army. Pet Fest is brought to you by Bully Max Dog Food and Forever Lawn. For more information, go to 93.7thefan.com.
I mean, I live in Denver. I watched it. I watched every play. I broke down every play. It was bad. And some of that you have to put on Sean Payton for not being able to convince him or get through to him or put him in a position to do those things. So, it was really bad the last couple of years. And last night was good. Like, last night was it was actually fun to watch him actually have some success.
Stink. That's his nickname.
Yeah.
Smelly guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Schlereth on with the PM team yesterday. Hey, how about you don't ask Russell Wilson to throw the ball in the middle of the field? Like, don't have him take 7-step drops. If he can't do it, it's never really been his game. Sean Payton, don't have him do it.
Right.
And how many times did we see him on the rollout Sunday night, Dorn?
A lot.
An awful lot.
A lot.
A ton of play action. There's new play action numbers, Dorn. Gave you some of the play action numbers yesterday. After the game, you're not always going to get the most accurate numbers. They'll retabulate them. So he went 9 for 12, 157 yards in play action. Did Russell Wilson. Passer rating of 116.7. Yards per attempt, 13.1. It was about 5 with Justin Fields. So a big difference there, and we talked about that being one of the reasons for the change. Real quick on the Ravens here, Dorm. So Derrick Henry, first in the NFL in rushing, has 200 more yards than the next closest running back. Lamar Jackson's 11th in the league in rushing.
Oh, wow.
Lamar Jackson, 455 yards, 6.2 yards per carry. Derrick Henry, 6.5 yards. You bang that drum all offseason. Like, the Ravens are going to be even better because Derrick Henry's the perfect fit. I was stunned when Jason Lockenfor came on the first time and said, it's just not a fit. Seems pretty good. Has an 87-yard run on the season. Had another long run last night. And that leads us to the Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. Are the Steelers a legitimate contender in the AFC? And so far, it's early returns. 62% of the voters say yes.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Mm-hmm.
They lost their defensive coordinator, the Ravens did. I mean, Mike McDonald, really good. We have seen what he's been able to do. He's a great defensive coordinator. He's a great schemer. The Ravens' pass defense is awful. And their defense overall has not been good this year. And that's the one thing that gives me hope. But I know the Steelers have had success stopping Lamar Jackson in the past. That's been with, like, Gus Edwards in the backfield. And the dude from Oklahoma State, Justice Hill.
Yes.
Like, this is a totally different animal. I don't know if we can project forward. Well, the Steelers have always kind of slowed that running game down. It looks a little bit different now. It's one thing that gives me pause. But I do think they got a shot. Like, if they can move the ball through the air, then yeah, they can be a contender in the AFC. And it's all about matchups come playoff time, too. Are you playing at home? Do you get the right matchups? If you do, you got a chance.
Like, I mean, put Russell Wilson on this team last year and say that he played the whole year, didn't get hurt. Like, where would this team, do they win the playoff game against Buffalo? Because it's probably going to be the same scenario, honestly, at the end of the day, as it was last year. Steelers will get in. It'll be close, I think. There'll be some games where they shouldn't have lost throughout this season, and they'll probably go to Buffalo again. So if you put the same scenario as last year to this year, or put Russell Wilson on the team last year, what does it look like? I don't know. I think that Russell Wilson, like, I knew that there was going to be rust because that's just normal. I also knew that it was going to come back around a lot faster Like, he was going to figure it out faster, which he did, in my opinion. I thought that was exactly the timeline in my mind. I was like, it's probably going to take a little while, maybe like 3 or 4 series before he starts figuring out, starts getting in that groove. But what I do know about Russ is that from here on out, he will get better. You know, he won't just stay what we saw on Sunday night. Like, this offense will get better underneath him because he will get comfortable. He will know the offense. He will know and incorporate things that he has seen over the years within this offense that makes sense for his offensive teammates and for Arthur Smith. So they will get better. I just don't know how good that will be whenever it does come down to it, because I don't see them winning their division and I see them having to travel in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, what's the ceiling for this offense? Because I do think they're going to hit it. Like, I have faith that, you know, the further we get into this season with Arthur Smith, they're going to do all their self-scout stuff over the course of the next couple of weeks after they play the Giants, right? They always do. Mike Tomlin's very good at that. So some of the tendencies they'll switch up. It's one of the only things I've had a problem with Arthur Smith is some of the second long runs. Like, it's been quite obvious. Early on in the season, it was first down runs. That might be a Justin Fields thing, but they kind of shifted from that a little bit. So I think that's going to evolve. And I do agree that Russell Wilson's going to get better. Whatever the ceiling is of this offense, I think they'll get there. I just don't know how high the ceiling is.
I think the ceiling is what you saw Sunday night. Like, I think they already hit the ceiling, but can you make that consistent is what I'm saying is going to get better. Like, Russell Wilson will get better, but it's not going to be like they're going to score 50 points a game. I think Sunday night is exactly the ceiling, and they've hit it and they've reached that mark, but they'll be able to do that almost game in and game out.
Yeah, can you go do that against the Giants?
Right.
And then take a couple weeks off, go do it against a Washington team that could put up a lot of points.
Do it against the Ravens if you can, or come close to doing that against the Ravens at home when your first AFC North, you know, matchup in, what, November 16th? Like, can you do that then? That's what I'm saying, getting better. I don't see them scoring more points. I don't see the stat sheet looking any better, really, than it already did. I mean, how can it look any better? George Pickens over 100 yards, Najee over 100 yards, Jalen Warren over 40 yards. Van Jefferson with a touchdown. Calvin Austin over 35 yards. I mean, you had, Darnell Washington over 40 yards receiving. Like, it's not going to look better than that. There's no way.
Just keep doing it.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I'm encouraged, look, Kirk Cousins was awful this weekend, but he threw for 500 yards. They're 4-3. Threw 500 yards a couple games ago. First game of the season, he was awful. Couldn't move. Russell Wilson, first game of the season, it looked like that. So you would think that there's reason for him to be able to engineer victory more fluidly, Doran. And to your point about beating Buffalo last year with Russ Wilson, or at least asking the question, 4-game stretch last year. We brought this up before, but now, of course, it makes sense to bring it up again because Russell Wilson's your guy. He goes, beats Kansas City, goes on the road, beats Buffalo, beats Minnesota, beats Cleveland. 4 consecutive wins against playoff teams for Russell Wilson last year. So it has been done before. It can potentially happen again. 412-928-9370. We've got Are You Smarter Than a Plumber coming up here soon. If you're power ranking the AFC right now, how would it go for you? Like, I think the Ravens have to be 1.
No. The AFC?
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs? Wait, you're going to put the Ravens over the Chiefs right now?
No, I want to mulligan.
Okay.
I want to go back.
Okay.
Rewind it.
I was about to say.
Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
Let's see that on replay.
Yeah, I'll go Chiefs, Ravens, Bills, Texans. They were without 6 starters on the road against Green Bay, lost the game, but were a field goal away from winning the game. That was, if you're talking like NCAA tournament or the college football playoff, like, that was a quality loss.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good team. That's a team I don't want the Steelers to play in the playoffs.
No.
If and when the Steelers get there. So I'd have the Steelers probably 5th right now in the AFC, but for the first time in a while, I feel like there's fluidity there, and they could move up. Like, you can't discount the defense. And we've talked about Dak Prescott throwing for a whole bunch of yards, them going over 450 yards, and what happened against Indianapolis. Well, what was the common thread in both of those games? They were blowing coverages.
Yeah.
We didn't see that, really.
No, a lot of the communication was, I mean, it was on point.
Yes.
You didn't see anybody just, you know, in no man's land.
No. And the two biggest culprits were Peyton Wilson, I thought, and Beanie Bishop. Well, Beanie Bishop had two interceptions, and then I thought Peyton Wilson was all over the field.
He led the team in tackles.
Yeah. They missed a ton of tackles in the first half. I feel like they got a beat on what the Jets wanted to do in the second half. Like, they were expecting big plays potentially down the field to Devontae Adams. They thought that maybe Rodgers would hold on to the football a little bit longer. Well, he didn't. He was getting rid of the ball in like 2.5 seconds, if not quicker than that. And they realized they're going to throw a bunch of stuff around the line of scrimmage. They're going to throw slants, and we're just going to need to tackle. They missed a ton of tackles in the first half. Second half, not so much. 412-928-9370. Yeah, I think they're fifth, but with the potential to move up. If they're going to win the division, not to get like way too ahead of myself here, you got to be 8-2. You got to take care of business against the Giants. You got to go on the road, and you got to beat Washington. And maybe Jaden Daniels plays, maybe he doesn't. He's week to week with the rib injury, which you say hurts like a mother bleeper.
It does.
And then you got the Ravens at home. So two home games. You want to hold serve at home against the Ravens. And hey, he's a great rookie quarterback. Go beat up on a rookie quarterback. After a bye, that's an advantageous schedule situation for you. A rookie after a bye, go take care of that. You go 8-2, you're probably the favorite to win the division at that point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, coming up next, are you smarter than a plumber? It's our very popular trivia segment with Southside Jake. Oh, yeah. Are we smarter than a plumber? History says yes.
Yes.
Southside Jake. Southside Plumbing and Heating. He joins us right now, one of our favorites. Good morning to you, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, and I'm just declaring victory now.
Oh!
Didn't he do that last week? I don't think he did that last week.
Last week was tough. We both had to do one of these chin rubs, furrow the brow on a couple of different answers. But as always, like Russell Wilson in the clutch, we got it done. What do you got for us this week, big guy?
All right, fellas. Well, first and foremost, I don't know what the heck the weather's doing out there. You know, I was telling you guys to check your furnaces last week, and now I should tell you to go check your air conditioning because it's 80 degrees out there.
Right, right.
I know, my house was 800 degrees last night whenever I was watching the Ravens game. I was sweating bullets.
It was unbelievable. My wife said the same thing, and then I actually turned the air conditioner on just for like 10 minutes just to blast it cold.
Yep.
But, you know, it's crazy. But anyways, let's get down to it. Let's go. So there was a story floating around yesterday, and I'm sure you guys being sports guys have seen it. So this is going to be a two-part question.
Oh, a two-parter.
All right. Yep. It's an end of an era in NHL. How many active players are left that wear a visor?
Oh, God. Get the hell out of here.
I think I know this.
It was pretty mainstream yesterday because it was on Barstool. It was everywhere.
How many players still wear a visor?
No, don't wear a visor.
Do not wear a visor.
Oh, don't wear a visor.
Mm-hmm. I think there's like three.
Final answer?
Do you know?
Final answer?
No, I have no clue. It's a bull crap. Actually, it's a bull crap question.
One.
Come on.
One. No, wait. Zero.
What?
Zero.
No. I'll tell you it's not zero, so guess another number.
Two.
Four.
Oh, man.
Four. I thought you had to. I thought you had to wear one now.
No. So, actually, the rule is if you have 25 games or less experience in NHL, you have to wear a visor until that 25 games is up, and then you can choose. But everyone is wearing a visor now.
Huh.
So, well, you didn't get the first part of the question right, so I might as well save my second question for another day.
Because, was the second one going to be the two players that aren't?
Four.
No, there's four.
Four,
players.
Rather. God, mother.
Yeah. I'll save my next question for later. We'll go move on to what you guys excel in, and that's guessing players because you ain't good at trivia.
Let's go.
All right, boys. This guy, at one point, was a Walter Payton Man of the Year recipient. He is the recipient of the 2022 Bart Starr Award, which it means outstanding character, leadership at home and on the field and in the community. And he is only the third quarterback in the NFL history to throw for 30 touchdowns in four consecutive seasons.
2022.
I have a guess. We can talk it out, right?
We can talk it out.
Is it Stafford?
Yeah.
I was thinking that too.
And that's his guy. He loves Matthew Stafford.
He does love Matt Stafford. But is he throwing us through a loop? I'm trying to think, is there any other quarterbacks out there? Oh.
I mean, it could be Russ, right?
Or Dak.
Dak!
It could be Russ. No, he didn't throw for 30 touchdowns last year. Let's go Stafford.
Let's go Russ.
Okay.
Final answer. Let's go, boys. Work it out.
Russ.
You are correct.
Oh, there we go.
I think he was preying on the idea that we know that he loves Stafford.
Good job. There we go.
Nice pull.
All right, here we go. Rubber match question. Here we go.
Yeah, you guys talked that one through nicely, I must say.
I thought he was doing the thing, the opposite thing. Yeah.
That thing. All right, 17th season as a head coach in the NFL. Record of 170, 105, and 2 with one or multiple Super Bowl wins. One or multiple. All right. He is one of five coaches to lead a franchise to 8 straight playoff appearances. Now, I'll give you a little bit more. There is 2 active coaches on that list of 5, and he is one of them.
8 straight playoff appearances.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple Super Bowls.
No, I didn't say
one or multiple.
One or multiple.
8 straight playoff appearances. I don't think McCarthy did that at any point.
Harbaugh.
I don't think Harbaugh did 8 straight. Because they were 5-11. Wait, a couple years ago they were banged up without Lamar. I don't think they made it.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I don't think they did. Andy Reid, he hadn't been there long.
Sean Payton.
Did Sean Payton get there 8 straight years?
With Breeze?
With Breeze. He went 7-9 3 times. I don't think he did it. But it's got to be one of those guys. I don't know, pick one.
Oh, man, you're going to leave it up to me.
I'm going
to
leave it up to you. I mean, because it's the I mean, Harbaugh, Reid, McCarthy. Tomlin didn't do 8 straight. It's one of them. You want to go Sean Payton?
Yeah.
2 ties.
Wait.
Tomlin has a couple of ties. But they didn't go 8 straight times.
Pick one.
Payton. I don't think it's right.
Final answer.
Yeah, sure.
Mike McCarthy.
Dang it. Goodbye.
See ya.
Goodbye. Goodbye. See ya.
Oh, sore loser.
Peace out. Southside Jake. Southside Plumbing and Heating.
Mike McCarthy? Oh, that's a bad loss for us.
That's a real bad loss. We were around it, but I think we 5-putted on a green is what happened there. Thank you, Jake. Have a good one. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. He's covering his screen.
Yeah. See you, Jake. Man.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Darn it. Yeah, from 09 to 16, they made the playoffs every year.
Oh, well.
All right, coming up next. Oh, that's a tough loss. That's a tough loss. When we come back, Steelers have been the best second half team in the NFL this year. It begs an obvious question. I don't have the answer. Perhaps Doran does, and I shall ask Doran coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Jason Mackey going to be joining us at the top of the hour. Jason going to be joining us every Tuesday moving forward at 8 a.m. Wrote a nice column about the Steelers and Mike Tomlin's decision to go with Justin Fields. I got that backwards, to go with Russell Wilson over Justin Fields, so we'll talk to Jason about that, among other things, at the top of the hour. A reminder, PetFest 24 presented by Subaru is back October 27th at Rockwell Park in the East End. The venue is right next to the East End Co-op, so should make it easy to find. Plenty of free parking. The event runs 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, animal shelters, participate in costume contests, get photos with Santa, or join in the blessings of the pet, the blessing of the pets, at 9:30 a.m. Pet Fest brought to you by Point Breeze Veterinary Clinic, Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman, and EV True Value Hardware. For more information, please go to 937thefan.com. Doran, the Steelers outscored the Jets 24-0 in the second half. They outscored their last two opponents 44-6 in the second half. They have the best second half point differential in the NFL. They've given up the fewest fourth quarter points in the NFL going back to the start of last season. What makes them so good in the second half? What's been going on with this team after halftime?
Getting intel. Getting the intel to see. And you don't make huge halftime adjustments like in the locker room as players, but as coaches, like putting the players in better position, they see and they have people like on their staff whenever they're up in the booth track what everybody's doing, and then they go through that more than what they say to the players like downstairs in the locker room. And then they change and alter the way that their defense is, the way that they pressure, the way they do things, and where, you know, all the analytics where, say, like Aaron Rodgers likes to go. Does he like to go to the left? Does he like to go to the right? Does he like to go down the middle of the field? You have all that tracked. So you alter your offense or alter your defense based off of the strength or the weakness of the opponent.
So you're telling me this is a good coaching sign for the Steelers?
Yes. Yes.
And it's not just defensively, it's offensively too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that. How often this year were they terrible in the first half offensively? I mean, Fields was leading them to, what, 6.5 points per game in the first half? No, they got 13 in the first half with Russ, but they did most of their work in the second half as they've done all season long. I also will theorize on this, not as a guy who was in NFL locker rooms, but I think the style of football the Steelers play can wear on you. Like that final drive of the game, 7.5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
score a touchdown with 30 seconds left, did the same thing against the Los Angeles Chargers at the end of that game at home. Like they run the ball, and they've got these tight ends, and the running back's a load and a tough guy to bring down. And then defensively, you just got to keep blocking T.J. Watt and keep blocking Cam Hayward and keep blocking Alex Highsmith. Like I do think they've got a style of football that can wear on you a little bit too.
Yeah.
But hey. Adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Tomlin doesn't get credit when the Steelers blow it at the end of football games. So just throwing that one out there. We're going to be joined by Jason Mackey, columnist for the Post-Gazette. Also works now with us here at 93.7 The Fan. That'll be next. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 24 Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, oh my gosh, Doran, it's a high of 80 degrees.